Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with, It's the Little Things.
Things that people don't notice. You'd be surprised to hear the testimonies, okay? That group there, Providence, my friend Carlton Pope. I know the place. He knows the place where I preached at. He knows the place I still go back and preach to. I know the places he's played at, and now he's been around the world. But it started in little things where he wasn't being paid a dime. It's little things. In the kingdom of God, God blesses, increases, and magnifies the little things. Matthew 13, Jesus speaks a parable. Matthew 13:31, he says, the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. He mentions and makes reference to the smallest known seed, a mustard seed, which looks kind of like a cell, if you could see one, which a man took and sowed in his field. Why would a man bother, even bother, to sow such a small seed? It's not a corn seed. It's not a peat seed. He said, Jesus said, which indeed, without doubt, is the least of all seed, but when it's grown. Because in the kingdom of God, little things become big things. Now, that's positive or negative, y'all. Little things become big things. But when it's sown, it's the greatest of all the herbs and becomes a tree, and birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So now it's not just blessed, but now it's a blessing. If you want to be a blessing, know what I did, y'all? I started setting giving goals. I said, God, if you bless me, I will help other people's children go to college. And now I do that because all my children went to school and was able to go debt free. I started setting what I wanted to give when this church could not pay me a dime. I was saying, God, I want my tithe. And I was full-time ministry. I want my tithe to be at least $100 a week. That's my tithe. That means I have to make at least $1,000 a week. But I set giving goals, but I had very little. And in some cases, you really can't do this. But it's the only way I can explain. So I tithe by faith. I started tithing where I wanted to be, not where I was. Even with the little. And now I don't have to go on and give you all the detail, but God has blessed me beyond what my eyes had seen, my ears had heard, that beyond which I had imagined or thought. But it started with little things, y'all. When we had a Bible study of 10 people, the parish can tell you I prepared just like I was teaching to 1,000 people. Because I knew God was going to bless me with a little thing. We had a little rented building. And people thought I was crazy for taking $40,000 and renovating a rented building that could seat jam-packed 80 people at the time. And I spent $40,000 to renovate the place. And preachers and everybody said, why would you spend that much money in a place that you don't even own? Because I knew I had to give a vision of where I'm going. And this don't look like it. So we got to put sheetrocks in the wall. So we got to get light. So we got to get some heat and some air. And because we did that, we came in there with 40 people and left in 2.5 years later, had to break the lease with 300 people because I was faithful in the little things. So that's, he said, when it's sown, it becomes greater. New Living Translation said that mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds and it becomes the largest of the garden plants. It grows into a tree and birds come and make their nest in the tree. Jesus again references that in Mark 4. In Mark 4, he says, what's the kingdom of God system? When he said the kingdom of God, he said how things work in his system. That's what kingdom of God means. Don't mean heaven. He said the kingdom of God means how things work once you get born again. Once you get saved, once you come out of darkness into this marvelous light, how things work in God's system. He said, this is what can I compare God's system to? Or with what shall we compare it? He says, verse 31, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth, less than all the seeds. But when it's sown, it groweth. Somebody say it's growing right now. I'm here to encourage somebody right now who's being faithful in the little things that is growing. He said, when it is sown, it groweth and becometh. It groweth and it becometh. Now, we don't talk like that in modern English. We would say it grows and becomes. I'm here to let you know that if you are sowing and being faithful right now with little things, it's growing and it's becoming. Watch it. And what the Bible says is that the kingdom of God is without observation. What that means is that you don't see what's happening, but it's happening. Come on now. What that means is just like, you know, you ain't seen your grandparents in a long time when you're a little kid. And then you go to grandparents, you see your great aunt, great uncle. You only see them once a year or every other year at the family reunion. And they see the 10-year-old. Last time they saw him, he was 7. They say, boy, look like you just grew up overnight. You done got so big as if they were expecting to stay small. Okay? And watch this. The aunt notices it. The uncle notices it. The grandparents recognize it. But the parents don't notice it. Because the parents are looking at it. The parents don't wake up when the child wakes up and says, stand up. Oh, look like you done got a quarter of an inch. Parents don't notice it. That's how the kingdom of God is. While you're looking at it, you can't notice it. Come on now. You got to sow it and stop looking at it. And if you sow it and stop looking at it, that thing will grow. And you'll get to a place, come on now, you look back and you say, and you wonder how I got here. Because you get God speed on things. And things that took the world 10 years take you a year. Come on now. Things that took them decades take you a year. Things that took them a generation takes you just 5 years. Are y'all hearing me? Because when you work in the kingdom of God system, when you're faithful in the little, it becomes much. Are y'all listening to me this morning? When Jesus got ready to work a miracle in Mark 15, the first one is with the 4,000. Disciples in Mark 15, 33 through 34 and 37 through 38. His disciples said, Jesus sees the 4,000 now. And he said, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness? The disciples said, where the bread going to come from to feed all these people? Asked to fill so great a multitude. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have you? Do you have any loaves? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. This time, don't say that they got it from a little boy. They had their own. It still wasn't enough. It says 7 and a few little fish. What kind of fish? It wasn't just a few fish. It was a few little fish. Those porgies. Just a few little fish. But it goes on to say, but when they took it and did what Jesus said to do with it, we call that being faithful. Being faithful is doing what God tells you to do with it, whether you feel like it or not. Come on. Being faithful is doing what God says, whether you think they deserve it or not. What happened? They did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full, and they that did eat were 4,000 men, not counting the women and the children. But it was done with a little. The one that we really remember is John 6 chapter when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus lifts up his eyes and he saw the multitude and he's having compassion on them. And he asked his disciples this time, where? Because they had used all theirs. They had already fed 4,000. He said, when shall we buy bread? Where are we going to buy? Everybody said buy. Notice Jesus didn't talk about begging. He started talking about buying. That's a little passing point. Anybody want to beg today? You need to buy. Okay. Jesus said, where shall we buy bread that all these can eat? And he said this to do what? He said this to prove them or to test them. Because he himself knew what he would do. Can I just stop there for a moment? I know what you have seems little right now, but God already knows what he's going to do with that little if you just be faithful with it. Remember I took y'all was singing that song last week. I know we're going to do something. This is the message I preached years ago from this verse right here. God's going to do something. He already knew what he was going to do. Now, they didn't know what he was going to do. But Jesus wanted them to have enough faith to say, I know it's a little, but I'm going to do something. Come on, say that with me. Say, even if what I have is little, God's going to do something if I just be faithful. So look at this. Philip said, even if we had 200 pennies worth, almost a year's wages, that even wouldn't be enough to feed all these folks for them to even have a little. Philip is thinking a little. And one of his disciples, who was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, watch this. He said, there's a lad here, there's a little boy here, which had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That was his first thought. But then he canceled it out by saying, but what's that among so many? He said, well, there's a boy here. He got a little lunch. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I said that. What's that among so many? I heard a preacher say one time, when Jesus heard that, he said, that's a good idea. I think I'll use that. That ain't how that happened. We just read Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So it wasn't Jesus. Come on now, follow me now. So it wasn't Jesus that took Andrew's idea. Andrew tapped into the mind of Jesus. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee. Andrew tapped into the mind of Jesus. And so watch this. You don't need to care. Every time you got a little, if you would just tap into the mind of God, God will tell you what to do with the little. But if you get overwhelmed with your circumstance and say, there's nothing that can be done. No, you got to know what can be done with a little. Some of y'all heard me tell a story years ago. We were in Oklahoma, and I had just, the company that ended up relocating us here to South Carolina, I had signed with them. I had already done my training with them, and I was going to be working out of my home. So I needed a room in my home dedicated to the business. So I can do claims adjusting for Cigna. Well, I had signed the lease, and I told a woman when I came back from this 2 weeks of training that I would give her the balance of the rent so we can move in. Well, we get back on Friday night, I still don't have any money. We're supposed to be moving the next day. I got to go back there to Dallas on Sunday night. I prayed that night, prayed in the Holy Ghost. Y'all can despise it and think you just got to wait for some emotional for an organ to be around you. But you got to learn to get by yourself and pray in the Holy Ghost. And God will download information directly into your spirit that bypasses your mind. I woke up early in the morning. I said, we're going to have a garage sale. Pastor said, we can't just wake up and have no garage sale. You got to put a garage sale in the trailer. You got to put a garage. I said, no, we having a garage sale. I went in the kids' room while they were sleeping and started grabbing toys. They start waking up. Dad, what's that? I said, you don't play this no more. You don't play this more. The Lord have need of it. That's what they did with that boy's lunch. The Lord got need this lunch, boy. Watch this. I had a piano that we had bought a few years earlier in Maine for $500, and I sold it that day for $700. By the end of that day, we had everything I needed. And it started with something I had in my house. Are y'all listening to me? God gave me an idea what to do with the little. And by the way, I got a baby grand in my house now. Okay. So you got to say, if you do what God tells you to do with what you have, you'll never miss it. Because he has a way of magnifying your seed. Are y'all listening to me? So Jesus, Andrew taps to the mind of Jesus, and he says, little boy here, he got 5 loaves and small fish. Again, little fish. What are them? Jesus tells them to sit down. Tell the people to sit down. He tells his disciples, he said, and watch it. I don't believe that they took the, I'm just kidding, but I don't believe that they took the boys' lunch. And come on, can't y'all see the paper? Preacher and 12 thugs takes the boys' lunch. That would have been jacked up, y'all. I believe they went to the boy and they talked to the boy. And they explained what they said. Now, would you let us borrow this? Watch this. If I can get you to believe this, we've been through something like this before. And last time, it was 7 baskets remaining. I think you got a little bit more. I don't know what's going to remain, but if you would just believe and let us take this to Jesus. Jesus takes the little, he prays over it, and puts it in the disciples' hands. Now, most of us, we've been watching too much television, too much Hollywood. We think the way this happened is that Jesus took the lunch and said, Father, and you heard the music, oh, I thank thee for this boy's lunch. I ask now that thou wouldn't magnify it. And as Jesus said it, all of a sudden fish just started multiplying and increasing until there was a mountain of fish. Sandwiches looked like Nathan showed up. Captain D's in the house. That's not how this happened. The Bible says he gave it to his disciples. And I can see them saying, Jesus, you trying to get us killed. What in the world we supposed to do with this? It's such a little. But because Jesus had blessed it. Remember what the proverb said. It's better to be blessed with a little than to have a lot and be wicked. It's a blessed little. Jesus takes it and he gives it to his disciples. Little piece of bread, little piece of fish, little piece of bread. And I can see, now what are we supposed to do with this now? What are we supposed to do? Jesus said, just start giving it to them. And I can see them now walking up to these people like this. Because these people are hungry. Some of y'all think everybody in the Bible is black. These better not have been black folks. It would have been a real bad day. You trying to play with me? And every time they went to take some, it increased. And I can see them getting excited now. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Look at this. Look at this. The more I give it out, the more it's increasing. Why? Because they did with it what Jesus told them to do with it. So you got to understand, it may be a little, but if you do with the little what Jesus says with it, to do with it, little things mean big things to God. Little things become big things when I obey God in the little things. Everything big started small. Let me give this and be finished for today. God tells Zerubbabel in Zechariah, the 4th chapter, verse 10. They were trying to build a temple. They're trying to get this children's building built. You know what I'm saying? Look like the money just ain't coming in. They need $2 million. And it's coming in $5,000 a week. He said, Pastor Bailey, Zerubbabel, don't be discouraged. And he says, we know the scripture, you don't often know the context. Zechariah 4 and 10. Who hath despised the day of what? Small things. Zerubbabel getting discouraged. We trying to build it. We build this temple and it seems like the money's not coming in. The people not cooperating. And we got so far to go. But the word of the Lord is, who hath despised the day of small things? Let me read it from New Living Translation. Do not despise these small things, Zechariah 4 and 10. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Y'all hear that? He says, stop worrying about what it's going to be if you just will start the thing. When it's little, God's rejoicing that you got it started. Listen, you can spend the rest of your life talking about, you know, one of these days I'm going to, one of these days I'm going to. Last year, I made sure that my son and daughter-in-law took my grandchildren to Disney World. The reason why I said, because my granddaughter kept saying, when one day come, we're going to go to Disney World. Y'all ain't catching this. She said, when one day come, because she had been asking her parents, when we going to go, they said one day. So she figured Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and one day. So she said, when one day come, and she kept saying that. And the more I heard her say that, I said, I got to make one day come. Are y'all hearing me? You can keep talking about one day, but in order to have your one day, you're going to have to start something. You're going to have to begin something. One day I'm going to do this. One, no, you got to start with the little, put the little aside. Sow that little seed. You'd be surprised. I know so many people. I have people, I don't mean no harm, and this ain't about those particular people. But I told you, I got at least 3 checks of $1 million that people written to me. They ain't good. They say one day it's going to be good, Pastor. Over the years, now this is no joke. Over the years, I've had three people because they believe by faith. So I got them. They write in my nightstand. Some of these members left the church. I stay in touch with them on Facebook. I ask them, is the check good? Because I need it right about now. Some of them probably closed those accounts. But they have written me, and I got them in my nightstand. I saw one of them the other day. I said, Lord, make this check good. Make it good. I call the millions into them, and they can tell me I can cash this check, provided they still got the account open. Watch this. Their hearts are good. Intentions are good. But know what would bless me more? A $10 a month check. Y'all ain't catching that. I believe their hearts are good. One day I'm going to give you $1 million, Pastor, but you can start with 10. And watch God magnify the 10. Despise not the day, he says, Zerubbabel, of small beginnings. He says, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begun. To see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The seven lamps represent the eyes that the Lord that search all around the earth. We got to be careful not to despise people, not despise things that appear little in our eyes, because Jesus never did that. Because the one you despise may be the very one that blesses you. Are y'all listening to me? Let me end this here. Look, Ecclesiastes. I said I want to end before. I'm in now for real, for real, for real, for real. Ecclesiastes 9, 14 through 16. Otherwise, okay, look at this. I want y'all to see this. It said there was a little city. What kind of city? Little city. Okay. Every day, been here in South Carolina for 20 years this year. But every day I hear about another little town in South Carolina. And people already know that you don't know where it is. So they always tell you it's down by Charleston, down by Orangeburg. It's a little city. And there was a few men within it. Little city, small population. And there came a great king against that city. And he besieged that city. And he built great bulwarks against that city. He conquered that city. Now, there was found in this little city a poor, what kind of man? He was poor, but he was wise. People despised him because he was poor. And he, by his wisdom, delivered that city. Conquered the city from this great king who besieged the city. But he said, well, what happened? Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Keep going, verse 16. Then said I, here's the point. Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. And his words are not heard. You don't know who's going to bless you. Be faithful in the little. Don't look down on little people. Because you don't know who's going to bless you. I'm believing God. Money cometh. You don't know who's going to come from. May not be somebody in the finest of clothes. I want y'all to do your jobs. Keep me safe in these last and evil days. But don't despise people. Check them out. Find out. Investigate. You don't know who God going to use to bless this church. You don't know who God can, one person God can send here one time to pay off that building. Oh, come on here. And the Bible talks about that. The Bible says sometimes you think these poor, insignificant folks. He says sometimes you're entertaining angels unawares. And it's an angel or somebody that God sends to bless you. That God sends to help you. Come on, stand with me this morning. This is the introduction to this message. It's little things. Little things. Husbands, don't forget the little things. Wives, don't forget the little things. It ain't like y'all forget, y'all remember everything. It's the little things. Make up your mind, you're going to be faithful with little things. The little class, the little car, the little child.
Sometimes we may despise our humble beginnings or neglect the things that seem insignificant, but every big ending started small. When your life looks ideal, it may be easy to forget the simple prayer it took to bring you out of depression. Maybe you hate going back to the small town you grew up in now that you live in the big city. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey encourage you to never lose sight of the little things in this transforming series. Order these resources today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for It's the Little Things. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.